Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Whether we're ready or not, the holiday season is upon us. Time for family visits, parties with friends and coworkers, and attempts at general merriment. These are also the weeks and months when the best films of the year start showing up on movie theater screens. Tim Federle's newest mixology book combines these two interests, cocktails and movies.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same.
Dolores, do you still have that bottle of vermouth?
Sure.
Who needs vermouth?
We've got bourbon. We can make Manhattan.
And a nice Chianti.
Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist follows Federle's Tequila Mockingbird, Cocktails with a Literary Twist, and Hickory Dackery Dock, Cocktails with a Nursery Rhyme Twist. Federle is also the author of the best-selling Better Nate Than Ever and 5-6-7 Nate. His kids' book is called Tommy Can't Stop. Before he was an author, he was a dancer, performing on Broadway in Gypsy, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Little Mermaid, and Billy Elliot, the musical. And so, with all of these shared interests to discuss, I am thrilled to welcome Tim Federle back to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So this is your third themed cocktail book. What do you like most about creating these books?
You get paid to test drive cocktails. It's like the perfect job. I mean, that's really fun. And then because each of the books has a theme, I also get to kind of dive into them. So like with movies, with the new one, I get to rewatch all these old movies, and that's a blast.
For Gone with the Gin, you have all the movies ever made to choose from to try to theme the drinks after. Are there any drinks in the book based on obscure personal favorites, or is the trick to stick with what people know?
That's a great question. It's a little bit of both. First of all, you want to have enough drinks and movie titles that please, you know, a wide audience who might not be movie obsessed, but might just enjoy classic movies or even sort of newer classics like Sleepless in Seattle. I had a cocktail called Sloppy in Seattle. But there is, my former life is as a Broadway dancer. And so there's a whole section of movie musicals, like Little Schnapps of Hars and Sippin' in the Rain, that I sort of fought for because I thought, no, we've got to have movie musicals. They're so fun.
Take us through the process of creation, if you can. How do you come up with the name of the drink, choose the movies you'll focus on, and then who do you work with to develop the actual concoction, the actual thing that one would imbibe?
So the way I come up with the cocktails is the first thing I did was I brought up the AFI list of like the top 100 classic movies, just so I could have a huge list of movies that would be, you know, most resonant with a large crowd. Then I bring up a huge list of cocktails that, you know, everything from like martini to sidecar. And I kind of compare the list and I go, okay, what would a sidecar named Desire taste like? So like Streetcar Named Desire is obviously the movie I'm doing a play on. And then I go, what would that evoke? And so specifically for that recipe, which is in the book, I came up with this Southern Comfort sidecar. So it's basically a sidecar that has sort of a New Orleans twist to evoke what happens in the movie. And so it's got Grand Marnier and lemon juice, a little orange twist. And what I do at that point is I work with this brilliant mixologist named Cody Goldstein, who helps me, you know, basically taste test 50 cocktails to make sure they're not just funny, but also delicious for your next movie night is the idea.
Do the rye thing, some spike it hot, Mrs. Stoutfire, rear wino. How do you come up with all of the rhymes and all of the puns?
It actually takes a long time. You know what I did? I went on Twitter and I sort of crowdsourced because a hive mind is oftentimes, you know, smarter than one mind and will think of things that you never thought of. And so I remember doing a sort of call to action and saying, hey, everyone who's read To Kill a Mockingbird, can you think of any movie puns that would have to do with cocktails just to see if there was anything I was missing? And I remember, I think somebody pitched me Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind.
Sure.
So that was brilliant.
That's
so,
a good
one. I love that movie, and I've got a whole sci-fi section. And so that is, you know, I think I came up with about 40 of them on my own, but eventually you've got to turn to the masses to go over the finish line.
It sounds like even if you weren't creating a book, that would be a good Twitter game that in at replies could potentially drain your battery through notifications.
Yes, I have found that when you ask a question of a lot of people on social media, you know, people have opinions and they like to tell you. So if you can sort of focus it on a game as opposed to the latest political scandal, it could be even just a little bit more fun.
My colleague, Ian Pickus, got Gone with the Gin from his girlfriend for his birthday and this weekend made a bourbon cowboy, but had to make a substitution, which I feel like I almost always have to do. If you're at home, you're like, oh, I have that mixology book. I'm going to make a drink. Here I go. Rum, check. This mixer, check. This mixer, check. Oh, I don't have creme de blah, 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 blah. I don't have that. So I need to try something else because I'm not going to go out. Do you encourage substitutions or frown upon that?
Oh, I totally encourage it because I feel like when I created these books specifically, it was sort of for the at-home mixologist, which is what I am. Mm-hmm. You know, in this sort of cocktail mixology culture that we're a part of now, there are plenty of books and they are amazing and they have a place in every person's bar for the really adventurous bartender who wants to, you know, source 10 different ingredients and drive across town picking up kind of fancy stuff that you might only use once. But my dream was to kind of make something that you could almost through corner store ingredients pull off. I'm guessing that there's a type of bitters used in Bourbon Cowboy. Like, I'm sure he had bourbon and iced tea is easy to get to, and lemon juice you should be able to get to, Ian. But it's probably the type of bitters. And, you know, ultimately, bitters are like the cologne of cocktails. For your listeners who are a little intimidated by bitters, all bitters are like the cologne of a drink. So if you can't quite pull off bitters for every drink, you know, most people are not going to spit out the drink and go, why did you invite me over?
There are, as you mentioned, sections of the book. You said you have a musical section and a sci-fi section, the kind of subheadings you'd see on Netflix as you try to select a movie to watch. Why did you think it was important to break the book into sections?
I think it was important to do that just because not everybody loves every type of movie. Not everybody loves every type of cocktail. Like, I'm a whiskey drinker. I know people who are like, I can't drink whiskey. I can't see straight the next day. And then part of it, too, was just, listen, I grew up in the 80s. And so movie night for me in the old days was like going to Blockbuster with my friends. And I'd have one friend who would run to new releases. And then I would run over to musicals. So I thought it would be fun to do, like, what would a thriller taste like? What would, you know, what would a drama taste like as opposed to a comedy? So I thought it would also just be fun to break up the book into sections for variety.
There's some fantastic illustrations in the book done by Lauren Mortimer. How did you meet her and how do you work together to create the pictures for the book?
This is one of those funny things about publishing that I'm actually so happy to talk about because people don't always understand this. I certainly didn't. I've never met Lauren Mortimer, who has worked with me now on two books and is brilliant. She lives in London. She does all these illustrations by hand, so they've got a really cool, almost like an Etsy quality because they're so, pencil drawn, and they're beautiful. They give these books like a really cool gentleman's handbook type feel.
Mm-hmm.
But the publisher, led by the design director, Josh McDonnell, at my publisher, they found Lauren, and they paired us, and it was, you know, frankly, like a drink pairing. It was like a match made in heaven, and I've never even gotten to meet her. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand about publishing and picture books for kids that very frequently the author has never met the illustrator.
That is interesting. So how do the illustrations, does she get a sort of copy of the text of the book and choose what she wants to illustrate, or how does that work?
She does. So again, this book has about 50 different cocktails, and certain ones felt like they were just going to lend themselves more. So like there's a Dirty Harry martini, and Lauren has done a gun that's got a martini on the end of it. And there is, what's another like really good one? Tequila Sunrise Boulevard has Norma Desmond coming down the staircase clutching a drink. So for some of the movies or cocktails that maybe needed more of an illustrated component just to get the pun over the finish line, I remember highlighting the original manuscript for Lauren to look at. And I said, I think this could use a little bit of help for the audience. Then there's other ones that don't have illustrations just because it's all so kind of self-contained.
Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist is available now. I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about some other stuff you have going on, Tim. First, you are a best-selling author, written Better Nate Than Ever and 5-6-7 Nate. This coming year, so 2016, you're releasing your first YA novel called The Great American Whatever. Could you tell us a little bit about that story and what made you want to jump over to YA? Not that it's a huge leap, but it is a difference.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I feel like so many adult men are just like teenagers in wolf's clothing. And I'm never that far away from thinking like a teenager. I mean, I just had like a milkshake for lunch before you and I got on the phone. So part of it is just my mind never quite got out of high school. The less glib answer is, you know, those were such formative years in my life. And The Great American Whatever is in part drawn from an experience I had when I was a high schooler in Pittsburgh, when a classmate of mine was killed in a car accident right outside of school. And it really changed my life because it was the first time I knew a peer who had been killed in this accident. And I've never forgotten that story. I've never forgotten what it felt like to know somebody so young whose life was cut so short. And so the book is about a teenage filmmaker in Pittsburgh, my hometown, who is dealing with the aftermath of the death of his sister and learning how to kind of come into his own as a filmmaker and a young gay person, and also somebody who wants to keep telling stories but doesn't quite know how to.
And that will be available in March, if my notes are correct.
That's right. Yep, March, from Simon & Schuster, my publisher.
Another thing that you have going on, there is going to be a musical adaptation of Tuck Everlasting opening, and you're co-writing the book. How did that come about?
Yes, I'm so excited about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm co-writing Tuck Everlasting with Claudia Scheer, and I've had a long relationship with Tuck Everlasting just going back years. I also, you know, my former life was as this Broadway guy, and I worked with Casey Nicola, who's directing and choreographing Tuck, originally on Spamalot. I was the original dance captain on the first national tour of Spamalot. So all these years later, I'm kind of returning to my theater roots, which I'm so thrilled about.
Yeah.
And it starts previews this March. But, you know, I grew up reading the book. Natalie Babbitt wrote this really timeless book that so many people either read in school or was sort of handed down to them, about this, you know, family who discovers the key to eternal life, which I think has really, you know, theatrical aspects built into it. I should say music by Chris Miller, lyrics by Nathan Tyson. They're such talented songwriters, and I'm excited for people to hear their music.
How did the project come to you? How did you come to be co-writing it, and how does it work? How do you co-write the book of a musical?
Well, so, you know, theater is such a collaborative art form, which is one of the reasons it's kind of fun to return to it, because my whole life was spent performing in musicals, literally from the time I was 10 years old. When I went away to become this novelist and sort of cocktail book writer, I was not used to the idea that I would do so much work on my own. I mean, the mark of a good novelist is someone who, like, never gets out of their pajamas, because you have to put so many words down on the page to ever, you know, see the light of day. Tuck Everlasting came to me recently, as the show was coming into Broadway. They were just looking to expand it a little bit. And I had known Claudia for a very long time. And so we worked together in a really interesting way. You know, we email back and forth. It's a very different process, again, than being a novelist, because as a novelist, you're working with an editor, usually one person who you have to please. Whereas as a, you know, book writer for a musical, there's producers and there's actors and there's the director, and then there's going to be audiences. And it's actually really exciting to sort of toggle back and forth between the two.
The Great American Whatever and Tuck Everlasting, we look forward to next year. Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist is available now. Tim, it's always a treat to check in with you and to keep up with you on social media. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're the best, Sarah. I'll see you on Broadway soon, I know.
Gone with the Gin, Cocktails with a Hollywood Twist is published by Running Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Another Caucasian, Gary.